In this episode of What the Prophets Say, I'm joined by Sam Robertson and Louise Reed, and we are having a deep dive into one particular verse where we look at building for the kingdom of God. Join us for this episode. Hello, loyal listeners, and welcome to another rip-roaring episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark. I am joined today in the studio by two of my favourite human beings on the planet, prophets of the Most High God. One Scottish, one Irish, you know who they are. You can do a slight whoop and cheer wherever you are listening to this, because I'm joined by the prophet that is Sam Robertson and the prophet that is Louise Reed. The Celts are all around the table. How are you, Sam?
Yes, I am well. I'm excited. Still grasping on to the fact that it should be summer in Scotland. That's what we were talking about. So you guys have your toes out.
No, they're back in.
Well,
they were out for a day yesterday.
Well,
I learned.
I literally put my sandals on for the first time. And then you have the whole dilemma of, are my feet summer ready?
Didn't even know this was a thing.
Yes, it's very much a thing.
Summer feet.
We could go a whole load of
a
places.
A whole episode. Do you want us to do that, Sam?
Probably not, no. I think I'm okay. But there we go.
But what I've just said, so can we just say the class behind the glass is back in place and Todd is there as producer, Roz as our production broadcasting manager, Suzanne is my assistant. Oh, my husband is wafting around. Oh, he literally is now doing a dance, and my two sons are in the house. And Karis Rimmer, who does our social media, it's a full house of the best of the best of GPA and friends and children. So we're in great company.
We
do wish you were here. And so we're going to help along the spiritual conversation. I just said to Karis, who takes pictures for my social media and preaches and is generally an amazing human, does she soak her feet in methylated spirits to harden them up so you don't get blisters when you put your sandals on? And you all laughed at me.
Absolutely.
Yes, because that is not a normal question.
Yeah.
But it is an Emma question, but it's not a normal question. But when you Google it, it says that methylated spirits can be used as disinfectant to sterilize medical equipment, as a window cleaner, and doesn't include anything about feet. But does say there are many other uses.
You can drink it.
But so that is an interesting thought. But I do think that is an interesting question to ask as soon as you see someone with sandals on.
As an opening question, it is an interesting one.
Well, I just, look, when I did hiking limitedly.
Tell us about your
tell
history
about that career.
Of hiking.
Limitedly.
Short history.
Do you remember the Duke of Edinburgh's awards scheme where, you know, you hiked for character development? I hated it, can I just say? We had an Irish husband and wife team. In fact, they've known me all my life. Uh-huh. They were at my dad's wedding recently, Frida and John Mathers. Oh. Outstanding. She was my netball coach when I played competitive netball. And they
just
would
before
have,
you did competitive hiking.
No, the hiking was not competitive.
Oh, was it not?
The hiking was grumpy.
For character.
No, the hiking was grumpily done. And we, of course, this is pre-mobile phones. Uh-huh. So we had this old like plastic compass, and maps, Ordnance Survey maps, and then the mist would come down on the hills and you'd have no idea where on earth on the wretched moor you were. The moors. M-O-O-R-S, MERS. And then your feet would blister because of the, because you were borrowing hiking boots, because who in those days, nobody bought their own, you just hired them from the Outdoor Pursuit Centre. And we soaked our feet in methylated spirits to harden them up before we went hiking.
You're on your own there, Emma.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That is not a universal experience, certainly, that I've definitely not had that.
I mean, I have put my feet in many things, but they have been much more softer, gentler and better than that. I've had my feet beautifully scrubbed, but never methylated spirits.
Right. Okay. I now feel like I need answers on a postcard.
You're on your own.
So viewers, family, friends.
But what is methylated spirits?
Alcohol.
Is
alcohol? It's just alcohol, yeah.
No, is it really?
Yeah. So, it does say if your feet are particularly sweaty,
it would be good for that.
With embarrassingly bad foot odor, applying methylated spirits once, but it does say is good for drying them out. So maybe there was a thought, and there is an article from 2002 about methylated spirits to toughen the feet.
So you've got a point there. Yes, you have a point.
Yes. So there you go.
So if, you know, come to the podcast of What the Prophets Say and have all sorts of weird and wonderful tips for life. If your feet blister, oh, I feel like I could do a methylated spirits advert. If your feet blister in summer sandals, go to the, where would you even buy it? I don't even know where we bought it.
On our website,
Yeah, our website.
Commission.
I don't know.
But as we come to our conversation, I mean, it does, it does slalom well from yesterday, because we were talking about how beautiful are the feet, of those who proclaim you're the king.
We were talking about Isaiah 52, weren't we? How beautiful are the feet.
So that is why we had that conversation clearly about then the kingdom of God.
Right. Well, feet are the thing. They're what touch the land. We're all about the land.
Absolutely.
So there's a lot in it. We could go many directions from this. But just to say my toes are ready.
Outstanding. We're glad to know. So,
ready to now preach the kingdom. That's what we're doing.
I've got a little bit of a frog in my throat, so if you hear that, me clear my throat, that's the frog. Let's talk about the kingdom of God.
Let's talk about the kingdom of God.
Okay. So I think one of the most important verses is Colossians 4, verse 11. And this whole concept, it's tucked away in Paul. Mm-hmm. Talking about fellow workers for the kingdom.
Yeah.
And you can easily race through and not catch that it is in there. In fact, Sam, do you want to read it to us? He's just pulling it
up. Absolutely.
Fellow workers for the kingdom and why we want to sit in that.
Yeah. Jesus, who is always called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom. And they have proved a comfort to me.
So in some senses here, you know, Paul's thanking some people for what they have been in his life. But yet this concept of building for the kingdom rather than building the kingdom is vitally important here.
Very good.
And I think when we think that we build the kingdom rather than build for the kingdom, you can accidentally slide too much into the old mindset of empire, the old mindset of, oh, I'm going to build for God, you know, and then your measurements become a little bit off kilter because you're wanting something a little bit more evidential right in front of you. And N.T. Wright, for me, does a great job, senior theologian, who talks in a couple of books about a stonemason working, you've heard the illustrations, about a stonemason working on the facade of a great cathedral. And he doesn't build the cathedral. He crafts over years different stones that are for the cathedral.
Yep.
And the sense then that when we build for the kingdom, when we build for the kingdom, it's never in vain.
Yeah.
No matter how short-lived the project, no matter if I can't see how my part fits into other parts, no matter how alone I feel, no matter how small I feel is the work of my own hands, no matter, you know, whether I came to it late in my life and suddenly had a revelation that I was a kingdom citizen. And all of that sense of I'm building for the kingdom of God and I'm working on creating outward looking communities where the definition of the kingdom is found in healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, cleansing the lepers. In other words, dealing with the curses. Yeah. Cleansing of the lepers is dealing with the biggest curses of the day. And so all of this is my life is given for the kingdom that I sow seeds in my giving of myself to God, and they grow in time. And here's the relief. I might not understand it. I might not see it. I might not understand the measurement of it. But if I've worked with that verse in my meditation and I've built for the kingdom, I think that's where you get your well done, good and faithful servant.
Absolutely. Very good. And I think even that illustration, you know, I've heard him talk about it a few times in different spaces. It brings a real sense of liberation from the thoughts of, is what I'm doing significant? Is it big enough? Because for the stonemason, it can feel like such a little part of a bigger thing that's going on. Yes. I'm just crafting a singular stone. It can feel small. And actually for us, you know, who build for the kingdom, sometimes if you have the wrong mindset, it can feel really disheartening. Am I doing something that's significant? Yes. Is it big enough? You know, is it grand enough? Is it going to take over the world enough or whatever the thoughts might be? But actually, in understanding that you build for the kingdom, even if it is small or if it feels small, it is nonetheless significant and needed and necessary. And I think this building for the kingdom, the work of this, I love that particular verse we read there, talking about my fellow co-workers. And I think when you talk about building for the kingdom, it brings such a sense of we do it as co-workers together.
Yes.
It is an activity that we do together, building for the kingdom.
And how few do that, Louise Reed? You know, very few really are fellow workers for the kingdom. Yeah. I think most are workers for myself, for my man-made, for my self-focus, my personal project. And very few are building for the kingdom. And yet we all probably have good hearts and good intentions. But actually how rare it is to find fellow workers for the, kingdom, where there's no one-upmanship, where there's no competition, because you understand something bigger is happening.
Well, isn't it then so important that you need to know your own piece, what you need to focus on with excellence and with commitment and with faithfulness, but you also have to have the big picture. Because if you can see the bigger picture, so using the illustration of the cathedral, if you can see what the ultimate is and have some sense of vision of that, then you will understand both how small you are, but how important your piece is and how important other people's pieces are to bring it together. And this verse is so subtle, isn't it? Workers for the kingdom of God.
Yes.
I mean, this is just such a subtlety in the way that it's expressed, because we're not ever told to build the kingdom.
Absolutely.
That's not scriptural. We're told to seek the kingdom. So we need to be seekers. That's active. That is something that has energy to it and momentum.
Yes.
But we're to build together. So the key is there, and for the kingdom of God. And I find it really interesting. I mean, it's Paul says many things, but it's the fact that he says that these ones have proved a comfort to me.
Yeah.
I think he could have said they have inspired me.
Yes,
they have.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
driven me forward.
Exactly. They have brought great insight to me, or whatever. No, they have brought comfort to me. And I think there's a key in there about building for the kingdom together, that actually we're called to be a comfort and a strength to one another. There's a sensitivity to that.
I mean, we've got lots to say in the next two or three episodes together about the kingdom, but I want to sit in this fellow workers concept if we can.
I think that's good.
Because I think the church is at its best when it is monoculture, the culture of the kingdom.
Yeah.
But is multi-ethnic. And so the sense, therefore, of in a monoculture, the values of the kingdom, we understand and work together in a much better way, though we are multi-ethnic. And so by revelation, you have this great multitude of every tribe, every tongue, every language, every people. And this, or let's push into Romans 15, that we welcome one another with one heart and voice so that we can glorify God. And or Ephesians 3, through the church, the many-colored wisdom of God is seen. And this sense of every color, tribe, language, every color, tribe, language and tongue. Sorry.
Slamming my vials
together. But it's the people of God who are this new humanity, this new creation.
The
one man. And we're supposed to be a community that draws people in by virtue of our diversity and yet our monoculturalism. So monoculture, this limitless kingdom culture, and yet multi-ethnic. And I don't think we have begun to understand that. And the sense of the joy and the beauty of monocultural multi-ethnic, which is
all the way through these scriptures that I've pushed in. So we were talking a little bit in a couple of podcasts ago, Sam and I, but when you weren't here, Louise, when you were sunning yourself in your holidays, but we forgive you.
With my toes out.
With your toes out. We were talking about this sense that I believe unity has not been possible because of the empire state and of the church. And now unity is going to be possible because we're going to find that we're fellow workers for the kingdom. And we are going to find a totally different church emerge that can do things side by side, raising each other's arms, because the kingdom enables monoculture fellow workers.
Yeah, that is so good. I would push that in that I think one of the things that we fail to do is we've tried to build together in unity, lowest common denominator. But actually the call is to know one another in the spirit.
Yes.
And when you go there first, you find the monoculture there first.
Yeah.
Then you can deal with the fact that there's many kindred, tribe, tongue, yes, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. But if you go to the most important place first, then you're on a winner. Yeah. Then you can build together from that place, understanding the Jesus in one another and the finding the spirit in one another. I'm fascinated at the moment. Uh-huh. I'm finding personally, I've got more in common with people that are from very different backgrounds, even doctrinally would be quite different. But because they love the Lord and the Spirit is active in them, I'm finding more in common and thinking, I could actually build with you.
Yeah.
Whereas there's others that I would say would be like-minded and from a similar background that I'm thinking, I don't think I can build with you, because we're actually ultimately not of the same spirit, because they're still hanging on to stuff of the old way.
So the whole concept again of for the kingdom then becomes this vitally important concept. Why can I work with you? Because we're building for the kingdom.
Yeah. And it's this war we were talking about, the difference between uniformity versus unity. And we've had uniformity, but actually the kingdom of God and building for the kingdom of God is about unity. I think just personally, you know, I've spoken in different countries before with translators, you know, where people speak in different languages. But this past weekend, while we're recording this podcast, I was in French-speaking Canada, and I was so moved for the first time in a way around the kingdom of God, because I was aware that, and some people in that room only spoke French, you know, so I couldn't speak to them, interact with them on a personal basis, but there was such a heart connectedness of a hunger for a move of God.
Yeah.
Though, I mean, I have terrible French. Do not ask me ever. It's appalling. I do not understand. It's terrible. Wee Wee is like probably as far as it goes.
Oh, I would choose that one.
Yeah, but that, you know, songs in French that I can understand, but the sense of actually I could feel like, oh, I'm touching a realm here because I'm with people who I'm of one heart with, that we might not be uniform in our language or even in our worship style, but we are united in our heart. And I was aware that I was touching an element of the kingdom that I hadn't quite grasped before, and it moved me. And I think even that for me, I know it's just one example, we could talk about many, is what we're pushing into here about monoculture, multi-ethnic.
I would push our international problems as much as this, that politicians are trying to do multiculturalism, but without Jesus, it's not possible. It doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
It can't be done. And that we're supposed to show the world how to be human.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And how we show the world the best version of humanity is that we are not multicultural. We are monoculture and multi-ethnic. That we celebrate our diversity, but we share values. And so this monoculturalism should be something that we model as the ultimate culture of freedom.
Yes.
Where your ethnicity and your multi-ethnicity and all of the preferences that that brings are celebrated, but we are together in our monocultured value system mm-hmm. for the kingdom of God. And I think that that really should be what the church brings to the international debate right now, that we are for the kingdom of God and for the values of the kingdom together, monoculture around the world. And we should be the sign that the politicians look to and say, well, look what you've got your midst. You literally have every tribe, language, tongue and people group, and you make it
work.
And
it works, yeah.
And the reason you make it work is because why? You share the values of the kingdom.
Yeah, and the focus is so clear. I mean, back to this verse, for the kingdom of God, the focus is so clear. Mm-hmm. It's and the politicians, bless their hearts, mm-hmm. are doing their best. And there, just to say on that, there is something that I would call natural spiritual law. It's like if you take a value of the kingdom, whether you are saved or not, whether you know the king or not, mm-hmm. you will get a reward of natural spiritual law. But ultimately, it won't work. Ultimately, because it's devoid of the king and the focus isn't the kingdom. It's almost like we'll take something from the kingdom of light because it works. Mm-hmm. And then you get a level. And we must make sure the church is called to something far greater. That is our job, to bring that to the earth. Yeah. Kingdom of God and the king. You can't have the kingdom of God without the king.
Yes. And I think when we're looking at some of the racial prejudices and racial tensions that we're facing right around the world, the church must model something that is restorative and is a signpost of how these things are to be done, because we are the only ones who understand how to do that. Multi-ethnic, monoculture.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you see the issues over borders and all of the conversations that we could have about defending your own borders, policing your own borders. We have it in nearly every nation I set my foot
in. There's
every nation in the world is wrestling over its borders. Every nation right now is wrestling over its territory. That is not specific to one nation or another nation. You know, we in Britain have the small boats crisis because, of course, we're an island nation. America has a land border issue, but it's no different to any nation I set my feet on the ground of. You know, will we be overrun? Will we be overcome? What all of that sense. And in this, I think there is, I don't want to necessarily talk, we can talk about that in another episode, but the whole sense of, are you building for the kingdom? I can model something here with you, though we may not even share skin color or language. And my concern at the moment is if I go to an only one-dimensional church, I am going to miss.
Oh, for sure.
I am going to miss some diversity piece that actually the kingdom of God talks about. Romans 15, we got to quote it again. We quoted it at the top of this podcast. Welcome one another with one heart and voice where you can glorify God. And the sense then of now we're in Peter, the living stones fitted together where we become the dwelling of the glory of God. The concept there of our togetherness in our value system for the kingdom. We have got to do better here in what we signpost.
I mean, even the verse itself, the whole passage, if you read from verse 10 to verse 15, Paul first introduces his Jewish fellow co-workers.
I'm sorry, you're in Romans 15.
In Colossians
4. Oh, Colossians 4.
Yeah, you start in 10, go to verse 15. He's talking about Jews and then he's talking about Gentiles. And so even there you have this multi-ethnic and differing belief systems in many ways, but within the co-workers for the kingdom of God. And I know you pushed it earlier on, they have proved a comfort to me. I think there is, it's not just comfort as in, oh, they're there. There is a comfort in being together working for the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And there is nothing like being with people that you are working together with for the kingdom. There is nothing like that. And I think here you're seeing what we're talking about played out. He lists his friends who are Jews that are co-workers. Mm-hmm. Then he lists his friends who are Gentiles that are co-workers, all under this this provision of comfort that's given through it.
What I love about the real privilege of the life that God has put in David and my hands is the travel and the diversity of travel. Mm. And I find when I go to, where have we been to this year already? Canada, America, Jamaica, down into England, up to the north of Scotland, the Netherlands. Of course, yeah, we were there together, weren't we, Louise? All of those kind of things. Though we share the same value in the monoculture of the kingdom, I have learned so much from all of their approaches to how they apply the For the Kingdom principles. We are so territorially small-minded to our detriment and to our shame that I think every nation I go to, I learn something of how they approach building for the kingdom that I cannot have in my one-dimensional Northern Irish or, you know, Central Belt Scotland mindset. I have to put myself into these other cultures. Yeah. And into their diversities so that I can see how they build for the kingdom of God. And I would urge the listeners here to be a little less guarded and a little less antagonistic and a little less judgmental and a little less rude about how somebody else finds God, as long as they are building in Colossians 4:11 for the kingdom. And you can see the kingdom values in them, we might actually just learn something from each other.
Absolutely.
Because are we not bored with our modus operandi?
Yeah.
Are we not like, oh my days, you know, that is enough of that. Yeah. How repetitively tedious are our services together? How much can you write them 3 years ahead of time and have no change? And then you just are comforted by the repetition of traditions. And suddenly we're finding ourselves in the need to say, well, how do you, and what is your emphasis? Yeah. How do you bring the values for the kingdom to play in this culture, which it has different climates, different temperatures, different foods, different colors, different
languages.
You know, languages. And all of that in this sense of the global nature of the citizenship of the kingdom of God. We are fellow citizens together.
And understanding, what are we so threatened by?
Correct.
Why are we threatened? If we really understood and got hold of the fact that as the peoples across the earth, God has put gift and something of himself in every culture, in every people group, and it is to our benefit. We're gaining something of the kingdom by understanding what is redemptive and what is significant. Whenever I'm with Americans, I find that my faith grows because they have a faith and an expectancy that is different from my Irishism.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Which tends to be more small-minded.
Yes.
However, they find something from me that sometimes surprises me.
Yes.
But if we could just be a little less threatened and a little bit more open-hearted, maybe we would just receive more of the kingdom and God's redemptive nature transferred one to another. And isn't that what he meant?
I find that, let's go there. I find the joy of the American dynamic is the entrepreneurial all things are possible.
Yes.
It seems to be woven through the culture. Mm. And I think they call that the American dream. We're not American. We don't know that instinctively. But I think you're right. I find that when I'm there, all things are possible, you know, and when I'm talking to our American like business coach, well, it's not a question of if you get a building, it's a question of when you get a building. There's no thought about something not coming to pass when God has said it. And yet, interestingly, when Americans come here to the soil of Scotland or other cultures come here, they talk about the Celtic bravery. They talk about the ability to see and hear in the spirit realm, which we carry, and that we play our part in the values that we have for the kingdom. Utterly fascinating.
Yeah.
And when we're sitting with, particularly when I'm sitting with any of my Asian friends, and I'm in Singapore and Taiwan next week, the sense of honor that they give and deep respect, sometimes in our casualness, is very significant.
Absolutely.
And we do. We learn from each other.
Learn. And it's the joy of being fellow co-workers.
For the kingdom.
And that we aren't intimidated but we receive that as a gift, even if it's opposite to our culture,
yes,
or opposite to how we would naturally do things, that it's received as a gift.
I think what I would want us to take away from this kind of chat today is we are hitting wars.
Yeah.
And we must not be so broad brushstroke with all Russians, all Chinese, all Americans, all Canadians, all, but you know, pick a nation. But in all of that, the sense of I bless the fellow workers for the kingdom in all of those nations, that you may have the strength to stand. And we share comfort back and forth together, as Paul's saying, across the diversity of the landmasses that he traversed in his missionary journeys. And that we start to release a sense of like, I pray for those saints in those places, mm-hmm, that they might be strengthened in the days ahead. And I do think that what we're going to see, and now I'm prophesying, is our rescuing of the persecuted church back and forward. And then actually when we become the persecuted church, because we are not yet the martyred and we are not yet the persecuted in the West, but I think those days are coming, that we're going to have to learn from our fellow workers for the kingdom in other places what their journeys have been and how they survived all of that. And this sense of, God, can you smash the cultural yeah, small-mindedness that I have, that my version of Christianity is the right version, that is in some way superior, that is it. And that the sense that I must understand what it is on occasions to think and try to look at even other news channels, even other TV dramas, yeah, really straightforward things that look at different cultural.
Yeah. Even theologians from other parts of the world, you know, if you're in the West, read theologians from the East or from the South.
Yes.
Like you read people and you study from people who are of other cultures.
I think what we're saying is the kingdom of God is not British.
Hallelujah.
The kingdom of God is not French.
Hallelujah.
You know, the kingdom of God is not
American.
Hallelujah.
American. And I think we go there to our great peril.
We do. And we don't realize it. It's not an intentional thought, but we assume it.
It's our small mind.
But how can the church heal the nations, or have any hope of unity in the nations, or any sense of being able to lead negotiations for peace in the nations, which we should be doing?
Yeah.
You know, blessed are the peacemakers. Surely we have that capability above anybody else, above any politician. We are those who know, blessed are the peacemakers. You know, we know how to do that. We have the wisdom of Christ. We have the mind of God. If we are not at the front of the negotiating teams in war zones, what on earth are we for? To bring what we know that other people do not know. Mm-hmm. You know Christ, other people don't. You have his indwelling spirit, other people don't. You have the values of his wisdom, other people don't. Mm-hmm. And so that sense of like me and my rights, me and my small corner, when you actually can say, I can see you have value. I can see that there's something to be learned from your culture. And I can share with you the values for the kingdom of God, that you might actually have peaceful negotiations that are possible. Surely that is what we are for.
Very good.
Agreed.
Yes. Very good. Thank you guys for joining us. Lots to mull over. We're back very soon for another episode of What the Prophets Say, and we are looking at the new earth.
Ooh.
That's our task. So you want to come back to us very soon. Thank you for joining us in this episode of What the Prophets Say.
If you've enjoyed this podcast conversation, then you will love our new Power TV app platform. Packed full of exclusive content and it's ad-free, you'll get to watch all the videos of What the Prophets Say. Visit powertv.app to join today.